If Satan cannot stop people from being saved, he'll be content with keeping the saints from serving. Welcome, everyone. I'm McDaniel Phillips, and this is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. Our host is author, teacher, and itinerant speaker, Kenneth Wong. Well, if you were with us yesterday, you'll recall Ken saying that when pursuing your identity, the question we need to ask is, whose am I? Because our identity is found in relation to others, especially significant others. Today, Ken explores the second part of that theme, which is service. You know, Satan is focused on keeping the saints from serving because he knows that a natural outcome of our identity in Christ is stewardship. So here now is Ken with a program titled, Whom I Serve.
Hello, friends who are listening in. It's good to be with you. We talked about the first part of the phrase from Acts 27, 23, where Paul said, God, whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am or whom I belong to dealt mainly with the subject of sonship. We are going to continue today with the second theme that is presented by that phrase, which is whom I serve. And we are going to focus not so much on service or servanthood, but stewardship. Sonship was mainly about being, and the obvious outcome of sonship or being is stewardship, which is about doing. This is an important subject to address for all believers. If Satan cannot stop people from being saved and coming into the church, he will be quite content with just keeping the saints from serving. That would be the next best thing to do, to see them as spectators sitting on the stands or on the sidelines. And if he can just get the majority of the church to believe that, it's fine to just sit back and watch. The devil himself can be persuaded to sit back a little bit and relax and take it easy. I find this is a particularly vital message for the modern church because it is characterized mainly by attendance rather than involvement. There are many watching, but few working. Let's look first of all at the requirement for stewardship. The requirement can be simply stated with these words, faithful and wise, and they are taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 42. The word steward is a term that is preferred particularly by Luke in writing his Gospel. In fact, he has two parables which talk about stewards in chapters 12 and 16 of his Gospel. What's the difference between a steward and a servant, you may ask? Servants are generally under direct command and instructions, whereas stewards are more privileged but also have more responsibility. They look after something for someone else. So a steward is not just another worker carrying out some tasks or instructions, but a steward really is a manager. In fact, the New International Version of the Bible uses this word for steward. He's a manager who is responsible for a bigger function or operation than the other servants are. In the original New Testament Greek, the word for steward is oikonomos, which literally means a house manager, or oikonomia for stewardship, which is household management. If you talk about the household, then really it's a place of management training where nobody is exempt. We all live or have lived in a household before. If I were to be asked what the Bible says about management, I would give it this name, household management. It's definitely not something you have heard of in your usual run-of-the-mill management theory. But if you want to understand what biblical management is, this is it. It's stewardship, household management. Where you live, where you spend most of your time as your own true self, that's the best place to gauge and to grow management skills. It's about how you manage your home, the things that you have, and how you relate to those who are close to you. A surprise or an unannounced visit would give you the most realistic assessment of that person's management skills. If a person cannot manage what is his in his own household, how can he manage anything outside of it, whether it's in the church or at work? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, from verses 36 to 40, Jesus was speaking about the need for servants, and the word there is doulos, which really means slaves. for them to be watchful and to be ready for his return. In verse 37, Jesus said, "Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." So that's a call to be watchful. Then in verse 40, "Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." That's a call to be ready. So his servants are required to be watchful and to be ready for his coming again. But in his answer to Peter's question, the Lord speaks of a steward as one of the servants who is appointed to rule over and to manage the household. Verse 41, "Then Peter said to him, 'Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people?' And the Lord said, 'Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his own household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has.'" So you find that a steward is also a servant at the same time, but he is also more than a servant. So a servant's heart is basic to stewardship, and this is in direct opposition to the world's obsession with ownership, being in charge, wanting to control, rather than on stewardship, which is responsible management under the lordship of the master. The qualities required of a good steward are laid out for us in verse 42, in the form of a question: "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" The implied qualities are there, twofold: faithful and wise. And therefore, a faithful and a wise steward will always be ready to give an account to the master whenever he comes. He's faithful and wise by doing what has been committed to his charge. We find these two foundational qualities of stewardship further explained in another parable involving a steward in Luke's Gospel chapter 16. This is part of the teaching of what is sometimes called the parable of the unjust steward. We are not going into the detail of the parable itself at this time, but simply extract what is relevant to us to help us understand a little bit more about these two characteristics of stewardship, what it means to be faithful and wise. Let me just read from the first verse of Luke 16 to see where he's coming from. "Jesus also said to his disciples, 'There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods.' Verse 2, 'So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.'" So we find this unjust steward being called to give an account of his stewardship here. We are all accountable and answerable to God for all that we do in our lives and with our lives. We will be asked in a future day to give an account of our stewardship. And if that's going to happen, wouldn't it be better and reasonable to start asking ourselves right now to check? We're going to skip the details of the parable right down to verse 10, where we find the reference to faithfulness. Luke 16:10, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much." This is the first aspect of what it means to be faithful. Whether it's little or much, it has to do with size or quantity. But the point here is that the quality of faithfulness is what determines the quantity. If you are not faithful in small things, we will never be faithful in bigger things. So we all have to begin with the day of small things. And as Zechariah says in chapter 4, verse 10 of his prophecy, "Who has despised the day of small things?" So don't despise the day of small things, because that's where the seed of faithfulness is sown and cultivated. Reading on in verse 11 of Luke 16, "Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own?" Verse 13, "No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." This is the second aspect of what it means to be faithful. It's not about size this time, but it's about the situation. Are we faithful to God and the true eternal riches? Or can we be hijacked and bribed by the lure of riches and materialism? Do I know how to be faithful in handling what belongs to another person and what belongs to God and not take it to be my own? A faithful disposition needs to be nurtured and to be proven. And the principle is learned and practiced not necessarily in spiritual settings, but often in secular settings. And this works well both ways. It makes for a good testimony of the church in the world, and at the same time, it keeps us from poor service standards within the church. Next, let's look at what we can understand more about the meaning of wise in this parable of the unjust steward in Luke chapter 16. The word wise is not actually used here, but a somewhat similar word, shrewd, is used in verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Inasmuch as this was the particular quality for which the unjust steward was commended, we will do well to find out more about what this really means. He definitely was not commended because he was unjust, but he was commended because he was shrewd, which is similar to the quality of being wise as a steward. So to be wise as a steward means to be astute or shrewd and to be prudent in making the right choices and decisions and investments. A good and wise steward is someone who is able to settle things quickly and decisively and to stick with them. He's not a fool who acts irresponsibly and who only lives for the present and for instant gratification. He makes the critical choice of who his real master is, the one he's really loyal to and serves. Our attitude toward material things can either enhance or undermine our motivation in spiritual things. Loyalty is something that cannot be divided or diluted. And in the matter of service for God, money and materialism is the single biggest stumbling block. So those are the requirements for stewardship, faithful and wise. Next, the reality of stewardship. And this is captured in the phrase, whatever you do, in Colossians chapter 3. In verse 17, it says, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. It applies to any realm of work, whatever, and do all. This verse has general and universal application. The same principles apply to all work, whether in the secular sphere or in the spiritual sphere. And what's the mode of doing this? It's to do all in His name. That means doing it as representing the Lord Himself, as if He Himself were doing it. One of the most powerful and effective ways of evangelism is what may be called work evangelism, that is, witnessing through work. A good worker is a good witness. And conversely, a bad worker will invariably be a bad witness. This is something we all need to pay much more attention to. And when we work or serve or do, we should do all in His ability and authority. And having done that, we should give thanks, as verse 17 says, giving thanks to God the Father through Him, so that we do not take the credit for the work to ourselves. The act of thanksgiving acknowledges that our actions are done in His name. At the end of the day, we say we are unprofitable servants, we have done what was our duty to do. A few verses down in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. To do heartily means to do wholeheartedly and not half-heartedly. It's easy and natural to do this if you have only one master to whom you are grateful and loyal. The highest motivation is to do all to the Lord because He is unchanging, and not to do it for people or for yourself who are changeable. Next, let's look at the reason. The reason for stewardship is that we are stewards of grace. That's something we read about in 1 Peter chapter 4. The focus here is on the spiritual sphere of work and service. What we have freely received by grace from God, we are to manage and dispense responsibly to others. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Any ministry should always be a ministry of the grace of God. And God's grace comes in various forms to suit diverse needs and temperaments. So stewardship in ministry should really be a manifestation of the manifold or diverse grace of God. We engage in such service through spiritual grace gifts, which are really a particular expression of God's manifold grace. They are not earned, they are not won, but they are given. And all Christians have grace gifts which are uniquely blended with their personality so that there are no two gifts, just like no two persons, who are exactly alike. We have read in verse 10, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. The function of such grace gifts is always to build others up in the church. Don't keep them still gift-wrapped and wondering all the time what's inside. Tear open the wrapping to discover what's inside. We discover what gifts God has given us by grace, by getting involved, by trying out, and by doing things. We discover by doing, and through exposure and experience, we learn what we are suited for and what we're not. And once the gift package is unwrapped, utilize it or it will fossilize. Verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 4. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The key thrust of the exhortation here is that if God has fitted and gifted you for something, just go do it and use it. And don't do so apologetically, but rather authoritatively, so that it is evident to everyone. When there is a convergence of the Spirit's gifting and the Spirit's working and enabling, we will definitely see grace at work in a wonderful way. If work is attempted without the Holy Spirit's enabling and gifting, it will not be a work of grace, and the church will be the poorer for it. So that's the third thing, reason, stewards of grace. And fourthly, let us consider the reward of stewardship, and it's simply to be found faithful. This is a phrase which we come across used by Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 2. Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 beginning from verse 1. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. These were the slaves who labored and toiled in the lowest tier in the belly of the Roman galley ships. They simply rowed according to the directions and the orders that were relayed from the bridge or the captain. So once again, that gives us an idea of what faithful service means, and that a steward must first of all be a servant of Christ as well. Here stewardship is described in terms of the mysteries of God. The crux of spiritual service and stewardship is to simply make known faithfully the mysteries of God now revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. It's like having been entrusted with this great and precious treasure, and we're to be faithful stewards of it. To be found faithful means to be dependable and responsible. It means that we can be counted on to carry out well and to be entrusted with that responsibility. Verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 4 goes on to say, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me is the Lord. To be found faithful means that we are not distracted by what others think of us, or even of what we think of ourselves. Man's judgments, evaluations, and opinions are partial, they are biased, they are limited, and they are changeable. And at times, to be found faithful may entail being misunderstood, even by those closest to you. Remember, we are called to be faithful, not successful. Do you know where the difference lies? The difference lies with who is the judge, whether it is God or men. Verse 5 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." So let's come under the scrutiny of the Spirit of God. Why appeal to a lower court when there is a supreme court in heaven? Our ultimate reward and praise comes from God, not from people. So keep in constant view the need to give an account at the judgment seat of Christ. That is what underlines our stewardship. Have we settled these two important twin questions of whose I am and whom I serve? Our being in Christ settles our redemption. That's our sonship. And our doing settles our rewards in heaven. And that's stewardship. May you continue to be refreshed by God's presence and reached by His wonderful word.
We engage in the service of God through spiritual grace gifts, which are a particular expression of God's manifold grace. Thank you for that, Kenneth. This is Times of Refreshing, a ministry of Bethesda Hall in partnership with TWR Asia. And I invite you to join us again tomorrow when Kenneth welcomes guest speaker Dr. Ernest Chu. Right now, though, we would love to hear from you, and I have several ways through which you can be in contact. You can send us a text message at 9431-3813, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 392, Thompson Road Post Office, Singapore 915-714. You can go to our Facebook page and leave your comments there or share some views with some of the other folks you see. Also, I invite you to visit our website, www.timesofrefreshing.asia, where you can listen to the program right online. And Times of Refreshing has launched an iPhone app that allows users to directly access the broadcast messages and the podcasts right from their iPhones. I'm McDaniel Phillips, inviting you to join us again for Times of Refreshing.